The subject is officially the return of Christ and all prophecy which is involved in that return of Christ. And it gives me freedom to take any chapter of the Bible, because it always speaks of the return of Christ and the glorifying of Him who is the Son of God. Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as it was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breath upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, and an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Well, I think this is a quite commonly known prophecy in the Old Testament. I think the majority of the chapters of this prophecy are not known, but I think this chapter is one of the most commonly known of this book of the Bible. The prophecy on the dry bones in the midst of the valley, who at last formed a living being and even more living beings. The fact is that it is said in verse 11, these bones are the whole house of Israel. That makes it impossible to explain this chapter as if it should speak about resurrection in general. You see, most often it is explained in this way. It is explained as if it speaks of the last day in which all the dead shall arise and be revealed for the great white throne. But no such thing in it. It is said these bones are the whole house of Israel. So we have to do with the future of Israel. And this prophet Ezekiel saw a vision. The hand of the Lord was upon him, and he carried me out, he says in verse 1, he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. You see, it was a vision. He wasn't in a valley. He had a vision, as if he were in a valley. The word valley should, in fact, be translated a plain, a low plain, a valley. a plain without mounds, without hills, I mean. You see, the history of Israel is full of mountains. Mount Zion, Mount Moriah, Mount of Olives, Mount Gerizim, Mount Carmel, and there are many more. And we should not forget the Sinai, for an example, although this was not in the Promised Land, but outside it. But the history of Israel is full of mountains. All these mountains point to heaven, to God Himself. And we could see these mountains as milestones in the history of this holy people, this people, this nation, which was delivered from Egypt by God Himself. And in fact, it was a nation which was the wife of the Lord God. But here in this vision, there is no mountain. It's all plain. And not only that, but the valley, as it is called in this translation, the valley was full of bones. And not only that, it is that there were very many of these dry bones. Very many dry bones in this open valley, and lo, they were very dry. It was very plain, and there were very many bones, and they were very, very dry. And that means it was all death. You see, the Lord communicated with Israel on mountains, but there were no mountains here. It was flat land. Makes me feel at home again. It was flat land. It was a plain and many bones. And then it is said, verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Son of man, can these bones live? And it's remarkable to see that Ezekiel, this prophet, doesn't make a decision. He leaves it to the Lord. And he answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Which obviously means that the prophet thought it was impossible. It was against nature. You see, bones are not to live, but bones are the rest of that what was once life. But life had gone. And what remained were these dry bones. They were not to live anymore. They should become dust. But everything is possible with the Lord. And that's why he answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. He was a prophet. He was a servant of God. And he leaves it to the Lord. And he says, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, verse 4, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Prophecy to these dry bones. And these bones are supposed to have ears. They are supposed to hear. And it's a very simple explanation for it. It means that these bones are types of men. To be more particular, they are types of Israelites, or shall we say Jews. Individual Israelites. And this prophecy which Ezekiel had to utter was directed, in fact, to individual Israelites, not to the nation as one whole, but to individual Israelites, as these words are directed to individual bones. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And they answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he isn't getting an answer, But the Lord tells him what to do. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And I know a person who was dead, and the Lord spoke to him, and he rose again. He heard the word of the Lord. And we should know that the word of God, by definition, comes to those who are dead. And they are able to hear. Because the word in itself is life. John chapter 1, verse 1, and so on. In the beginning was the word. And the word was not only with God, but the word was God, and God is life. And that's why word is life. And as I pointed out before, in this place, the word is communication. Where there is word, there is communication. And communication is the same in Scripture as life. Death is the absence of communication, and life is communication, fellowship, communion, or shall I say intercourse. And when there is word, there is life. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. They were dead. They were dry. There was no water. Water, again, is a type of life. Water is, in Scripture, always a type of the word of God. And that's why water is life. And they were dry, and they didn't get any water. They got the word of God, which is the same. You see? The word of God came to these bones. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I, which is the Lord, I, he is the one who mentioned his name, who introduced himself to Israel by his name. He said, I am Jehovah. We translate this and we say, I am the Lord, or I am the Lord God. But it is, I am Jehovah. I am the one to which ye are married, according to the old covenant, according to law. I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I must make a remark on the word breath. The word breath here is a translation of the Hebrew ruach, which means spirit. Spirit and breath are exactly the same, as is the case in Greek as well. There we find the word pneuma, and it is translated breath or spirit. It is spirit. It means it is unseen, it is unvisible, and it is life. And breath replies to this description. You see? Breath is unseen, and it is life. So we find in Scripture, I don't know your translation, the English translation, but in our translation we find words as, all that has breath praises the Lord. And the translation could as well be, all that has life praise the Lord. It's the same. And when we have life, we have breath. And God's purpose with our life and our breath is that we use this life and breath to praise Him. See? We are supposed to believe with the heart and to confess with the mouth, with breath. You see? Life. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. But we should read, behold, I will cause spirit, that is life, to enter into you, and you shall live. I shall use the word spirit now, but we should know that spirit and breath in Scripture are always the same. There's no difference. There's the same word in Hebrew as well as in Greek. The Lord is telling to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter in you, and ye shall live, because spirit is life. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. It looks as if the Lord wanted to go back in time, back from death, back to life again. But this is not the case, you see. There's no going back in Scripture. There's a going on. There's a development in Scripture. It is not a going back to the life which these bones once lost. It is a going on to the new life which is in Christ, of course. A new life, a new spirit, according to all those promises which were already given to Israel and which were afterwards given to Israel as well. The Lord should give to them a new spirit, a new life. Just think of Joel chapter 2. I will pour out my spirit upon them. It's the same spirit. This is the same occasion even. And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Well, in this prophecy, it is said in verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, I will cause breath to enter into you. And I note the word spirit. The first thing was the Lord promised to give them spirit. And ye shall live. In fact, this is the same, but two words are mentioned, so I will write down two words. First, spirit, and the result of this coming of the spirit is, of course, life. This is the promise. The Lord promised to do so. I will cause breath to enter in you, and ye shall live. That was verse 5. And afterwards, verse 6, and I will lay sinews upon you. I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you. The next one. And cover you with skin. It is said, and put breath in you. And this is the same story. This breath is again the word ruach, spirit. That in this promise to Israel, two times the words spirit and life are mentioned. I shall bring spirit in you and give you life. And then it is said, I will give sinews and flesh and skin. And then again, spirit and life are promised. So the promise is twofold. The question is, are there two different kinds of spirit or different kinds of life to give to Israel? If we take this literally, and why shouldn't we? Then we see the right chronological order of things here. It begins with spirit. And, well, more or less this is the same as life which is given. Spirit and life belong together. And then sinews, flesh, skin. See, sinews and flesh and skin are related to organization, to the building up of the body, to the building up of that which is already alive. The same is true for the believer of today. In the first place, he receives the Spirit, because the Spirit is his life. Some do not know this, but we should realize that this Holy Spirit in us is nothing else than our new nature. We should realize that the term the new nature very rare is in Scripture. It doesn't very often occur. It is only a different term for the Holy Spirit in us. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So if we are born again, we are Spirit. And that Spirit is, of course, in our body in the old man. But the Holy Spirit is our new nature. And our regeneration, our rebirth, begins with the receiving of the Spirit, of course. That is our new nature. And the result of it should be, afterwards, sinews, flesh, skin. Sinews, they have to do with in fact, organization and communication. And afterwards, flesh. And flesh has to do with power, strength. And then skin, and skin is the completion of the body, in fact. The fulfillment, I don't know the correct term now, but I'm sure you understand. It is the completion of the whole. But it begins with life. If there's no life, there shall be no sinews and no flesh and no skin. And the remarkable fact is that we again find a promise of the coming of a spirit and of life. And that's remarkable in this chapter, for it is the key to the correct explanation. I'm aware of the fact that this prophecy is explained in two contradictory ways. And both contradictory explanations are based on the scripture. So we should read very carefully and see what is said here and what the promise was. The promise was that the Lord should give his spirit. To whom? I'm reading verse 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Not to the lot of it, but to the bones individually. And say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. All these bones are addressed. Thus says the Lord God unto these bones. Again the plural. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and so on. That's the promise. And the explanation is very simple. You see, we are expecting that these dry bones will shall be put together to form one house of Israel. These dry bones are the whole house of Israel, verse 11. And then we should see this, that spirit and life are promised to the individual bones, which means to the individual Israelites. And those individual Israelites who have become life because of repentance, because they are converted to the Lord, those converted, let us say, Jews, shall be gathered and shall receive sinews and flesh and skin. And what do we have then? A dead body. Just imagine that all those Jews come together. What do we have then? A dead body. There's no life in it. You see, that's the key to the explanation of this chapter. The purpose of God is obviously that the whole house of Israel shall be saved. But this is only possible when every individual Israelite shall be saved. The whole nation can be saved only if every Israelite believes in the Lord and is saved individually. A believing nation is a nation which exists of believers. And you see, we have the promise in the Word of God that on a special date, a special time, Whole Israel shall be saved. The nation as such, the nation as a unity, as a one, singular. The whole nation shall be saved. But Israel can only be saved when it believes, of course, in the word of God. It's Romans chapter 10. Faith is by hearing, and hearing is by the word, and so on. And this is said there in Romans chapter 10, relating to Israel. But it is impossible to preach to a nation. Who is that nation? We sometimes say, this or that belongs to the state. I saw there's a state theater here in Pretoria. Who is this state? There's no answer on it. Who is this? Nobody. The state is everything, but the state is nobody. See? And that's why nobody is responsible. Well, there is a nation, but how can this nation be converted? Well, very simple, by preaching the word of God to every member of that nation, by preaching the gospel to the Jews, to some of the brethren after the flesh of Paul. The fact is that first, every Israelite must be converted before the nation as a whole is converted. And there is new life promised to every believer, including, of course, every believing Jew, not only in this dispensation, but in the next dispensation as well. But there is new life promised to the nation as a nation as well. We should never forget that God deals with individual men, but God deals with individual nations as well. And the scripture recognizes at least 70 nations, which are mentioned in Genesis chapter 10, I think. And these nations will be judged in future. Of course, God deals with nations. And we all know that Israel went into dispersion because of the sins of that nation. But many of those sins were done generations before the punishment. It were not the same persons who did these sins, but it was the same nation who did this sin. And it remains true even today that the Lord once delivered Israel from Egypt. That doesn't mean that he delivered every living Jew from Egypt. For this is not true, of course. The majority of the Jews never were in Egypt. But as a nation, they were delivered from Egypt. And the prophets do remind the Israelites to this historical fact. They were once delivered, not themselves as persons, but the nation. So that these are different things. In fact, these are different dispensations. There's a dispensation according to individual men, and there's a dispensation according to the nations of the earth. And that's why we find the term spirit and life two times in this same promise. The promise is simply that the Lord should give spirit, that is to say, life, to every individual Israelite who came to believe. And then he should gather them that they may form a nation again. And then he should give his spirit to the nation as a nation. Very simple. If a Jew believes in Christ, he receives spirit, the Holy Spirit, new life. You see? But that's quite a different thing that differs from the new life of a nation. We are used to the thought that in our generation, Israel became a nation again in 1948. A Jewish nation into being in the Holy Land with the conversion of an individual Jew. What we see there is a rebirth, I should be very careful now with this term, a rebirth of a nation. Not a rebirth of an individual, but of a nation. This is possible. A nation can die and rise again. Not only Israel could die and rise again, the same is true for very many other nations as well. But this is not the same as the death and resurrection of an individual. These are different things. And that's why the Lord shall give spirit and life to an individual believer from Israel. And after that he shall give life to a new nation. Well, the rebirth, the regeneration of Israel, as promised in Scripture, shall take place after the conversion of the individual Israelites and after the coming again of Christ on Mount of Olives. We dealt with that already in this place. We have seen that even the believers in the Promised Land have to flee out of it to the desert to be brought again in the land. Well, this is the rebirth, the regeneration of Israel. First it should die, after that it should rise again. But those who shall enter then the country are believers. Believing Israelites, believing Jews, but I should use the term believing Israelites because the term Jews is applied only to 2.5 of the 12 tribes of Israel. So, let's see what happens here in this prophecy. Ezekiel had to prophesy, and we have seen what he should prophesy. And then he is telling us in verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesied as I was commanded. And we should read it as an excuse. It was the excuse of Ezekiel. Because of the simple fact that what happened was not similar to that which was promised. For what happened? And as I prophesied, there was a noise. In fact, the word should be, there was a voice. As I prophesied, there was a voice. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. But there was no breath. But there was no spirit. The order of things is quite clear. It is said in verse 8, as I prophesied, there was a voice, which is a noise, sometimes. And behold, a shaking, in fact, a moving or a movement, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews above, but there was no breath in them, but there was no spirit, and no life. It's not mentioned, but it's quite clear. You see, what was prophesied did not happen yet, but it did not happen. It is said that the Lord should bring flesh. That was the promise. And what happened was that the flesh came upon them. Not the Lord gave flesh, but the flesh came. Not the Lord was doing something, the flesh was doing something. And the same is true of the skin. The Lord should give a skin, and the Lord should cover them with a skin. What happened was, and the skin covered them above. It was not the Lord doing this. We should see that always the Lord is giving emphasis on his own person. I, the Lord, I, the one who delivered you from Egypt, I shall, and I do, and when these things happen, then it is said, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, and the sinews and the flesh came, and the skin covered, and so on. There were many activities, but no activities of the Lord, you see. And that's why he has to prophesy again in verse 9. And we should see this, that these things which happened, according to these verses, are fulfilled in our days. The prophet saw something happening, not according to prophecy, not according to the will of God, or let us say, not according to the promise of God, but there happened something, but the wrong thing. What happened was that there was a voice, breath, you see. Voice comes from breath, and voice comes from spirit. There are many spirits in the world. And in fact, the Holy Spirit is an exception. The Holy Spirit is singular, and spirits are often plural. There are many of them. A voice came. Well, it was not difficult to see which voice that was and whose voice that was. Because it's quite obvious that this is the voice of Theodor Herzl, the man who wrote a book, Der Judenstaat, in German. I don't know the English title. Der Judenstaat, it means the Jewish nation, the Jewish nation. And it appeared in the year 1896. And this man, Herzl, wanted a Jewish nation erected somewhere in the world. Not in particular in Palestine, but somewhere, a Jewish nation. It was a voice. And the result of that voice came immediately in the next year, in 1897. For in that year, the first Congress of the Zionists was held in Basel in Switzerland. And it was the direct result of this work, this voice of Herzl. Zionist Congress was held there. Well, this was a movement, the Zionist movement, it is called. It is a shaking. It moved every Jew all over the world, and it does that to even today. Although many Jews, I think the majority, doesn't want to have anything to do with it. But it moves them, you see. They cannot neglect it. And the result of it, as it is said in this prophecy in Ezekiel, is that the bones came together, bone to his bone, the end of verse 7. And the result of these Zionist congresses and Zionist movement was indeed that many Jews from all over the world came to Palestine to colonize the land which in fact was nothing more than a desert in which no one wanted to live. You should keep that in mind. No Palestinians there, or maybe a handful, but not such thing as a Palestinian people or nation, it didn't exist. There was nobody. Who wants to live in a desert? It was no land of milk and honey anymore. It was a desert. It was dry. It didn't rain there. The Lord didn't give his blessings, you see. And the land, well, let's go on to the next part. It is said, there came sinews. Sinews and flesh came upon them. The sinews have to do, as I said before, with organization. And I think this is fulfilled in the year 1901 with the erecting of the what is called the Jewish Agency. The Jewish Agency, which is an organization which gathered funds, money, to buy land from the Arabs who owned the land. Most often they didn't owe the land, but as soon as they saw that Jews were paying money for land, they suddenly owed land, you see. Yes, speculation. It happens even today, not only among Arabs and Jews. But the Jewish Agency, as far as I know, until today, is gathering funds, is an organization to support the erecting of the Jewish nation, and it supports now the existence of the Jewish nation. And many Jews who dare not, I think, go to Jerusalem or for other reasons do not want to go to Israel, are giving money to that nation. And, well, they need it, humanly speaking. The Jewish Agency, sinews upon it. But remember, no one of these Zionists was a believer. Some of the Zionists are Orthodox Jews. But these are no believers, they are Orthodox Jews. And even Orthodox Christians are very seldom believers. I take the full responsibility for this utterance, you see. They are Orthodox, but they should not be true to the doctrine. The term means this, true to doctrine, or in fact true to tradition. They should be true to the Word of God. And neither Orthodox Christians or Orthodox Jews are true to the Scriptures. They are unbelievers. But it's a work of men. And I should say, I admire this work of men. I admire any Jew, even if he is an unbeliever. I love the Jew. And my heart goes out to that nation there in the Middle East. But I must say, it is not the work of God. It is their work. And I admire their work. As a Christian, I shouldn't. But as a man, I can't help it, you see. Well, let's go on. It is said here that the sinews came over it, came upon them, and after that, the flesh came upon it. Covered them above, the skin. And no doubt, this was fulfilled in 1948 when the Jewish state in Palestine came into being. When the independent Jewish state was erected on 15th of May 1948. There was the skin and there was the state and there was the dead body. There's enmity against Christ, against Jesus, you see. They know him as a historical person, and that's it. Well, New Testaments, one page is Hebrew, the other is, well, any language. And these New Testaments are printed, and they are given to them free. And there are people occupied in personally giving such a New Testament to them all over Europe and I think even here in South Africa. I said Europe, that's not correct. It is all over the world, because this society is the only society who prints these things. They can only be obtained there. If you ever see a New Testament in Hebrew and another language, it's printed by the society for distributing the Holy Scriptures, or the Hebrew Scriptures, as it is called. And they are printing now, since a year, I think, Old Testaments in two languages, in Hebrew and any other language. And we should know that the Jews there do not know the Old Testament, and they do not even read the Old Testament, and most of them do not even read old classic Hebrew. We sometimes think they can, but they cannot. But if you only see Hebrew, they know it is a holy language, and in fact it is. Everyone who studies this the language of Scripture knows that there is something holy in it. It's a special instrument which carries the word, or which ministers the word of God. The word of God should be in Hebrew. And this society is printing bilingual Bibles at the moment in Israel, and their argument is there is no one else, there is no organization, no company else ever in the world which is able to do so. It's very remarkable. The biggest printers, or I don't know the word, the biggest printers are in Israel. Nowhere else in the world was there a possibility to print these Bibles by thousands in two different languages at the same time. And they are printed now in Jerusalem by unbelievers, by men who closed their borders for the Bible. But they printed themselves, and they are now exported from Israel. And it's even so that any order from any place of the world comes in London, in the headquarters of this society, and the orders are given to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem they are sent all over the world. It's very remarkable. But they closed their borders. You can't come in. They closed officially the borders for the gospel. Well, it's impossible to close borders for the gospel. We should know that. There are many, many possibilities to come in there, even when you are a preacher. You can go there on holiday, you see. There's no need to tell them. But they closed the borders. They are not believers. And this Jewish state is not a result of the work of believing Jews or believing Christians. It is the work of unbelievers. There's even a small party of Orthodox Jews in Jerusalem who are not Zionists, who neglect, as far as possible, the Jewish state there, because they believe, and they are correct, that the Jewish state should be erected again after the return of Christ and not before it. Well, they call it after the coming of Christ, of course, and not before it. And they are correct. And this nation is not the result of the work of God. Well, I'm aware of the fact that it is in itself a miracle that it is possible that a Jewish state could be erected, because it is a miracle that the Jewish people as such do exist. Humanly speaking, they should have been extinct or assimilated or something. So it is a miracle that this can happen. But this doesn't mean that it is God's work. Ezekiel knew very well that what happened was not according to the promise. And we read in verse 9, "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind," and so on. And the first remark is again, the word wind is here the same as the word breath in the foregoing verses. It's again the word ruach. When we always translate spirit, there's no difficulty at all. The Spirit was not there, and there was no Spirit in them. And that's why verse 9 says, "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the Spirit." You see, in this translation, the whole point is missed. There was no breath, and that's why the prophecy comes now to the breath itself. There was no Spirit, and that's why it is said, "Prophesy unto the Spirit. Prophesy, Son of Man, and say to the Spirit." It is repeated, because the Spirit wasn't there. And, well, notice that no single word is used to explain that which happened in the foregoing verses. No single word on the existence of that dead body here. Because there was a dead body which came into existence. And the Lord is silent about that dead body. And the prophet is silent about a dead body. And in a hurry, with haste, the Lord says to Ezekiel, "Prophesy unto the Spirit. Prophesy, Son of Man, and say to the Spirit." You see? And that which happened is neglected. And I know one verse which speaks of this dead body. Literally and obviously. That's that one verse which we read Saturday in Matthew 24. Where the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered. Because there shall the tribulation begin. In Israel. And because of the unbelieving Jewish state, because they are unbelievers, shall the tribulation come there. In Israel. If there was no Jewish state, there couldn't be a tribulation there. Just because there is a Jewish state, there shall be tribulation. I have no time to refer to all those prophecies which speak of it. There's a prophecy in this same... It is in Jeremiah. It is, I think... It is said, why is my beloved in my house? I'm not sure where it is. How you should do it. Take your concordance and so on. Eh? What has my beloved to do in my house? Because the beloved doesn't belong in the house of the Lord. Because he is untrue to the Lord. And not I, but the Lord is calling her a harlot. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy unto the Spirit, Son of Man, and say to the Spirit, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds. Again the same words. It doesn't matter now, because the term is clear. The four winds is everywhere on earth. You see? North, east, south, and west. Come from the four winds, O breath, O spirit, and breath upon these slain, that they may live. But to whom should the Spirit give life? According to this second prophecy. To whom? Well, there are only two possibilities. The one is to that dead body, which came into being according to the foregoing verse, or the Spirit should come to these dry bones. And it's very simple, especially in this English translation, because we find here a plural. Breath upon these slain, that they may live. The Spirit is to come not in that dead body, but in those dry bones. That's clear, isn't it? There's no other possibility here. I'm very thankful for this this English translation. In our Dutch translation, it can be seen that it is a plural. but it is. O Spirit, come from the four winds, O Spirit, and breath, and give life. It's the same. Give Spirit upon these slain, that they may live. Because these dry bones are those who are slain. Individuals, dead in sin and trespasses. And they come to live as soon as they hear, which means as soon as they obey the word of God. And as soon as the Spirit comes into one who is dead, he lives. And then he said, so I prophesied again. Ezekiel does what he is commanded to do. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the Spirit came into them. Not into him or into it, but the Spirit came into them, and they lived. And they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You see, those bones became alive because they now heard the word of God. Because the reborn, the regeneration, regenerated Jewish state is the army of God. The term is used a few times in the prophecies of Daniel, an army. An army of heaven is the term. Because this is the army which shall conquer the world and subdue the world, the nations of the world, to the king, to their king, which is the Lord of the house of David, as is said in the rest of this chapter. David and Jacob are mentioned there. See, an army, a nation, one body, again, because an army is a body. See, our Dutch word for body can be used for an army. I don't know if this is the case in English, I think it is. A body, an organization is a body. And a body is an organization, in fact, it is an organism. There's not so much difference. The difference is only that an organism has life in itself. And this is, of course, an organism. Nevertheless, it is an army. The army of the Lord of heaven. And you see, God's purpose is that every individual Israelite comes to believe, comes to put his trust in Christ, or shall we say, in the Lord, or in Jehovah. It all leads to the same result. Because the result is a regenerated Jewish or Israelite state. And that didn't happen in the past because of the voice of Herzl, but it shall happen in the future because of the voice of the Lord. When he will speak and when he pours out his Spirit according to Joel, for instance, Joel chapter 2. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They are Israel. They are even the whole house of Israel. That's remarkable because the whole house of Israel did exist about 37 years. Remarkable. 37 years. The whole house of Israel did exist. In the kingdom of Israel, I'm speaking of kingdom of Israel, it did only exist during the 33 years of the reign of David and the 40 years of the reign of Solomon. And after that, the kingdom split it again. And before it, it was split it as well, the two tribes and the 10 tribes. But here it is said, these dry bones are the whole house of Israel. All the 12 tribes are included. Behold, which draws attention to this fact, behold, they say, well, what do they say? They say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts. It means, as for us, we are cut off. They say, our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We are cut off. And they recognize that. They confess this. As for our part, we are cut off. Remember the term in Daniel chapter 9, after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. And it meant that he should die. And the same is true for the Jewish nation, for the whole house of Israel. The bones shall dry, and their hope shall be lost, and they shall be cut off. And when they say this, behold, they say, as soon as they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost, we are cut off, then they shall be restored again. It said, they say this, and therefore prophesy and say unto them, verse 12, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and so on. Why shall he open their graves? Because they say our bones are dried. See? That's the meaning of the first word of verse 12. Therefore, because of their saying our bones are dried. And, well, anyone today of the Jews who says our bones are dried and our hope is lost is not a Zionist. Not dry. We are not dead. We are not cut off, and we have hope. And that's why we built. See? And if they didn't say these things, they couldn't have reached what they have reached. It needs power. Power of man. Hope. Faith in future. Faith in themselves. But they should not have faith in themselves. They should have faith in their Lord. And only then there is hope for the future. Therefore, because of this, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. The name again, Jehovah God. Thus saith the Lord God. Behold, O my people. Behold, O Ami. The word comes from Hosea, chapter 1 and 2. And it means my people, my nation. And these same chapters, Hosea chapter 1 and 2, declare quite clear that Israel, as long as it is in unbelief, is lo ami, which means not my people. I have not slightest idea how these terms are translated in your versions. I hope you can find them in these chapters. Lo ami, not my people, and ami, which means my people. And it is said there, it's prophesied there, that there should come a time in which Israel should be lo ami, not my people. But after that, there should come a time in which Israel again should be ami, my people, God's people. Restored again, accepted again by the Lord. And even the Apostle Peter quotes these terms. You were not a people, but now you are God's people. But this is a quotation from Hosea. You were not God's people, but now that you believe, you are. Again. The fact is that Israel is now lo ami. Not God's people, in the sense of there is no marriage between the Lord and Israel. There was once in the Old Covenant, and there shall be under the New Covenant, but the New Covenant comes only to them, to those who believe, you see. And as soon as they believe, they are partakers in the New Covenant and shall be, yes, the bride. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. I, the Lord God, will open your graves. Not Zionism. Not Hetzel. But the Lord will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you in the land into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am Jehovah. Ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. They are supposed to be in graves. God condemns the men to death, and after that gives them life again. See, those are not three different meanings of water. One, the word, two, death, three, the nations. It's all the same. The word of God condemns men to death. That's the old covenant, the law. Water which is bitter, water which cannot be drunk, water which doesn't heal, John 5. But after that, the same water will give new life again. Healing, because the water was moved by an angel and it became living water. Same water. And another functioning, you see. Not condemning, but giving life. Not law, but grace. It's the same word, the same water. Brought up out of their graves. Spiritually, the nations. More literally, as I said before this week, they shall be brought up out of their graves in Petra. But these are literal graves, not because they are literal dead, but because the houses in which they live are literal graves, because they are carved out in the rocks, under the surface of the earth. And in fact, this is Hades or hell or the grave. See? And they shall be brought out. There are many scriptures who speak about this. But the Lord shall do this. And there should be the emphasis. The Lord shall do this. And of course, after their conversion, after they hear the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, and so on. If they do not hear, they will not be brought up. If Lazarus hadn't heard the words of the Lord, he shouldn't have risen. See? The same is true of the daughter of Jairus or Jairus. You see, those names are difficult to pronounce because they do not occur in any dictionary. I can't look it up, you see. Some words I'm looking up. Sinews, I should have said sinews. But it should be sinews, if I'm correct. But those names, well, I can't look them up. So I have to guess. But if they hadn't heard the word of the Lord, they should have remain dead. And the same is true for the nation Israel. They shall hear the word of God, and then they shall live again. So those who do not hear nowadays the word of God are dead. And that's why the term regeneration of rebirth of the Jewish state shouldn't be used for that which happened in our generation. It is not a rebirth. It is a coming into being again. But it is the same nation as it existed throughout the ages. And it is again this dead body. But they shall receive life again. The Lord shall then bring up out of their graves. And verse 14, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. In verse 13, the spirit is mentioned after the bringing up again, after the regathering of Israel. And then it is that I shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. And as I pointed out before, Israel will be regathered, not in the land, outside the land, in the desert. They shall be regathered, they shall be brought together from their graves, literally from Petra, spiritually from among the nations, and they shall come to a place, that place in the desert, and they shall go they shall walk what was the term? The King's Highway, that was the term. The King's Highway, that's the term you can find in your concordances, you see, because it had a part in the history of Israel already. And the first time when they went to the Promised Land, and the same road shall be walked again, the King's Highway. And there's one reason why this way is called the King's Highway. Not because Israel shall walk that way, but because the King himself shall walk this way. And this way is right through Edom. They shall be gathered, and verse 14, the Lord shall put his spirit in them, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord, saith Jehovah. Remarkable how often this name Lord, this name Jehovah, occurs here. You see, Israel shall call upon the name of the Lord. Israel shall call upon the name Jehovah. And I shall perform it. I have spoken it, and I shall perform it. That's the sense of the last part of verse 14. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. The Lord doesn't only speak, he acts. He is the one who fulfills his own word. Maybe you never thought about it, but the scripture speaks of the faith of God. Not the faith in God, but the faith of God. I think it's Romans chapter 3 or 5, I'm not quite sure. The faith of God. And it means that God trusts in his own word and performs it. See, he is doing what he promised. He is, I don't know a better word, he is sticking to his word. And Israel didn't, but God shall do this. He shall fulfill his word, although Israel once rejected it. Well, to come to an end, I want to refer to Deuteronomy. I read chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. In the foregoing chapters, we find prophecies relating to the future of Israel. In fact, relating to the whole history of Israel, because we are in the beginning of the history of Israel. And after all these prophecies, it is said, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. And these are the same secret things which are explained in the New Testament. The same mysteries about which the Apostle Paul speaks. The mystery of the kingdom, the mystery of the church, the mystery as the body of Christ, the mystery of the hardness, I think, of Israel, according to Romans chapter 11, even the mystery of iniquity, with which we shall deal tomorrow. Secret things regarding the mystery of the kingdom. So the secret things have to do with our dispensation, the dispensation of grace in which Christ is high priest and king after the order of Melchizedek. The secret things belong unto the Lord. After the giving of the law, it is said there are secret things in it. But they do not belong to Israel, they belong to the Lord, and the revealed things belong to Israel. But after these secret things have passed, after the church has been completed and so on, or let's say after the dispensation of grace in which we live, then do we come to Deuteronomy chapter 13. And there it is said, and it shall come to pass, after those secret things, and it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God has driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God. See, Israel shall repent, but after the secret things, after the mysteries, they shall return unto the Lord. Where are they? Where are those who repent to the Lord? Well, it is said they are among the nations. Thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, and leave the word them out. Thou shalt call to mind among all the nations. They shall remember. They shall remember even their own history of old, the words which the Lord had spoken among all the nations, not in their country, but among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. It's quite clear that he should drive them out of their country, and when they are out of their country, they shall call to mind, and they shall return unto the Lord their God, according to verse 2, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice. There's the voice. See? The right voice, and the right spirit, the right breath. Obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity. When? Then. When they are among the nations, of course, because that is their captivity. When they obey the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul, then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee. See, quite correct translated. The Lord thy God will turn thy captivity. The Lord thy God will have compassion upon thee. The Lord thy God will... Well, read it. Return. Which means that these promises and these prophecies will be fulfilled not at his coming, but at his coming again. You see? Israel can know from the Old Testament that when the messianic prophecies are fulfilled, they are fulfilled in the second coming of Christ. It means when he will erect his kingdom in Israel, he shall be here on earth for the second time. He shall return. And then shall he gather them. Not in his first coming, but in his second coming. Some say this is New Testament truth, but it isn't. It can be found in the Old Testament. He will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. And then if any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God, remember, notice the repeating of the name, the Lord, Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land. You see, first he gathers them according to verse 4, and according to verse 5, he brings them in the land. The same order of things. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. Spiritual circumcision. We are spiritual circumcised. That's true for the believers today, for the church. But it shall happen to Israel. It is a term for rebirth, regeneration. They shall be born again. And the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies. And as I told before in this place, the conversion of Israel will take place in the end of the 70th week. And in the 70th week is that tribulation. Curses upon Israel, an unbelieving Israel. But as soon as they convert, the Lord shall gather them and bring them in the land, and then he shall put the same curses upon the enemies. That's the turn in history. Some have marveled about the fact that some prophecies speak of the curses which shall come upon Israel, and other prophecies speak of blessings for Israel and curses upon the nations. The fact is that we should see them in the right chronological order. First, a curse on Israel, resulting in their death. And then, rebirth again, gathering again and bringing again in the land. And after that, the same curses will be put upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And that happens in the day of wrath, as I mentioned before. You see, and it's the same story. The believer shall be saved. This believer shall be brought in the promised land. Not an unbeliever, but a believer. That's true for the church today, and it's true for Israel as a nation in the future.